Join Concordia University Chicago as they celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in joyous gospel and song. The annual service of lessons and carols takes place on December 1st and 2nd, featuring the university's internationally renowned music performance groups. Attend one of the three services in person or stream the video online December 2nd at cuchicago.edu/live.
You go into your high school government class and you give your opinion defending marriage as between a man and a woman. The class is not going to look at you and say, how brave. Your classmates are going to look at you and say, how intolerant.
They're opposed to femininity, but they're also opposed to masculinity. The worst being in the world is a man. The best being in the world is a male individual who is feminized.
Because on the other side of death for the Christian is not condemnation, is not judgment, but is Jesus who welcomes us and blesses us.
Northern Illinois chainsaw drivers, love, issues, etc.
Well, I remember it as a child. Even if I'm not mistaken, as a teenager, it was often the case that a youth minister, a director of Christian education would get an idea right around the beginning of Advent. Hey, maybe it's a good idea to get the youth together. We're going to go out and we're going to do some Christmas caroling. It was a reluctant Christmas caroling, I will admit, as a teenager. But I also remember people coming to the front door of the house occasionally, knocking on the door. You open the door and there's a group of people from the neighborhood or a local church. And they're singing Christmas carols. They sang one or two Christmas carols. If you were prepared, you gave them cookies or hot tea or something along those lines and sent them on their way. Why has that practice fallen off? Why does it only appear now in Charles Dickens plays and things like that? Why the dearth of Christmas caroling, or for that matter, of community singing, and in some congregations of even congregational singing? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming back live on this Monday afternoon, November the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about reviving Christmas caroling. Cheryl Magnus will be our guest a little bit later. Pastor Peter Bender joins us to continue our series on Lutheran catechesis today, the Fourth Commandment, dealing with father and mother, and the accounts of both Old Testament Absalom and Jesus as a boy in the temple. Then we'll be spending time with Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, getting her thoughts on the pro-life views of acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker. Joining us to revive Christmas caroling and not only talk about its revival, but also to discuss how we can go about doing that. It's not often that we sing together anymore, maybe only in church. Cheryl Magnus is managing editor of the Reporter Online for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a recent column for the Federalist titled, Why You Should Go to Christmas Caroling This Year and How to Start. Cheryl, welcome back.
Hi, Pastor. Thanks for having me back.
First of all, what's a carol?
A carol is one of those words that has a variety of meanings. It's used in a variety of ways. Historically, the term would trace back to the medieval period, and it specifically refers to a kind of musical form. And we associate carol with Christmas carols, but historically it would not necessarily be a Christmas song or even a religious song, but just a song that has a joyous spirit that's celebratory in some way. It might be celebrating something religious, but it might be also celebrating something secular. And musically would have the form of a verse and a refrain alternating. Might also have kind of a dance-like quality in keeping with the celebratory nature.
I remember going Christmas caroling. I remember people coming by the house when I was a little kid. This was a long time ago, Christmas caroling. Why do you think the practice of Christmas caroling has fallen off?
I think because the practice of group singing and amateur music in general have fallen off. And by amateur, I don't mean bad. We tend to think of the word amateur as meaning not good in quality. But by amateur, I just mean music that is practiced not by professionals for money, but that is just practiced by everyday people in their homes and in their lives. And that's something that as a culture we are losing very much in recent years. People aren't taking instrumental lessons as much. They aren't singing together in the homes as much as they used to. We tend to look at music as something that is passive, that we listen to the professionals do for us, not that we do ourselves.
Do you think it's related, the falling off of Christmas caroling, to just the general decline of communal singing? And I'm not even talking about religious singing, but people used to sing for entertainment at home. They used to gather around the piano and sing.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, these days, if you got a group of people in a room and said, let's sing a song together, they could probably sing Happy Birthday together. But beyond that, I'm not sure. Maybe they could sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. Maybe the national anthem, but that one is questionable anymore because we just don't do that together anymore. I mean, if you go to sports events, even these days, the national anthem is not something that we typically all sing together, but we listen to a soloist sing, or we need that soloist to at least lead us in singing because we can't do it by ourselves.
What has changed, now turning to the Christian context, what's changed in our congregations that in some cases has killed congregational singing?
I think that in many places we've moved, it kind of ties in with the attitude that we have in the general culture that sees singing and the practice of music as something that the experts do, that the professionals do. And I think that is carried over a little bit into some of our congregations so that we have a performance-oriented approach to music and worship as well. And you'll see this many times with services where the congregational singing is led by people with microphones. And I don't mean to say that you should never have a microphone in worship. You know, sometimes we need to project voices, whether it's the pastor or the cantor or somebody that's leading a psalm or whatever the case may be. But when it comes to the congregation singing their part, singing the hymns, we need to let them do that. And if they are depending upon somebody with a microphone to lead them, then they're not going to trust in their own voice.
I'm curious about something you note in your article. You have there a statement, if I'm not mistaken, it's by Keith Getty. And he characterizes congregational singing, and I think this plays over into the caroling question, as a radical witness. What do you make of that observation?
Yes, Keith Getty is he describes himself as a modern hymn writer. He's from Ireland, and he writes modern hymns. And by that, he means that he is writing contemporary Christian songs, but songs that are designed to be sung by groups of people. So they're written with melodies that are accessible and singable by people in groups, not very soloistic kinds of melodies. And he's been, along with his wife, Kristen Getty, they've been really promoting congregational singing and the value of that for a number of years with their music. And yeah, one of the things that he's noted for is that quote in which he characterizes congregational singing as a radical witness. I think it's radical in that, number one, communal singing is radical these days. It's something that we're losing in our society. But number two, singing about Jesus communally is also radical. So it's radical in both ways, in the content and also in the practice of singing together.
How would you suggest that we go about actually reviving the practice of Christmas caroling? The first idea you have has to do with turning the caroling into a party.
Right. I think Christmas caroling is a wonderful way to sort of try to get people back into communal singing, because carols are something that, even if you don't consider yourself to be a really strong singer, even if you don't, you know a lot of songs that you would feel comfortable singing in a group, who doesn't love to sing Christmas carols? So it's a wonderful time and a wonderful opportunity to try to get people singing together. So in the article, I suggest one way to do that is to have a Christmas caroling party. You know, get your friends together, get your choir, your church choir over at your house and turn it into a fun event. You know, rope them in with some refreshments and some fellowship and then let them know, hey, we're also going to sing while we're together tonight.
This does require some planning, doesn't it?
It does. If you're going to sing in a group, you need to organize a little bit. So make a song list and plan what you're going to sing together. Don't try to do too many songs, maybe just three or four songs. If you're actually going to go caroling from either house to house, or if you're going to visit a nursing home or a hospital, you're going to go from room to room or house to house, and you're not going to stay at any one place a terribly long time. So probably just two or three carols will suffice. So get together and practice those two or three so that you know what you're doing, which stanzas you're singing. Maybe designate somebody who feels comfortable getting the group started off together on the same note, because that's important. It's helpful if you can pull that off. All of that does take a little bit of pre-planning.
Cheryl Magnus is our guest on this Monday afternoon. We're talking about reviving Christmas caroling. When we come back, we'll talk about, well, the necessity to practice in people's fear of singing on someone else's doorstep.
The cool thing about the love of Jesus that he's inviting you into and to grow into is that it is the strongest force in this world.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Hatred can't crush it. Violence can't end it. I'm telling you, there is nothing that can conquer this love that he wants to plant inside of you.
Making the Case for Godliness by Pastor Will Whedon. We'll send you a recording of almost 20 hours of teachings from both of our Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Learn more and order at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. An audio DVD or thumb drive of the 2018 Making the Case conferences.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about reviving Christmas caroling. Cheryl Magnus is our guest, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why You Should Go Christmas Caroling This Year and How to Start. Cheryl, before the break, you were talking about practice, and I think it's useful not only just to warm up the voice, but maybe to screw up your courage a little bit, because as you well know, people are terrified of singing in front of other people, even if it's just an old couple on their doorstep.
Yeah, I realize I'm coming from a little bit of a position of strength in that I'm a musician and I'm married to a choir director and a church musician. And so it's easy for me to sit here and say, you know, go sing. But I think it's going to continue to be one of those messages that I will continue in whatever way that I can to encourage. I've written articles in the past with that message and will plan on continuing to do so in the future, because if there's anything that is human and really truly natural, it's to come together in a group and sing together. And it's a tragedy that we have sort of stamped that out of ourselves in the culture. It should be a natural thing. It shouldn't be such a scary thing.
You're talking there about coming together, and I think that's about 50% of what the singing used to be, whether it was in the family or in the church or even people going out in Christmas caroling. About 50% of it was just getting together with other people, and then by way of exploiting that togetherness, they would sing. It would just part of their lives. Mm-hmm. How can Christmas caroling help overcome the isolation that many people experience during the holidays?
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity to gather with people with whom we share, you know, if we're talking about Christmas caroling, gathering with people with whom we share our faith and our belief in Christ. And so to emphasize that shared faith and shared belief through the singing of carols, you know, that's going to draw us together around that shared faith. One of the characteristics of Christmas carols and Christmas hymns, true Christmas carols and hymns, is that they teach that faith. They have the elements of what we believe. And so by coming together and singing those things together, we're going to be united in that faith.
If someone can't manage actually getting a group of people to go outside the house to do Christmas caroling, what are the advantages of doing the same, but within your own home, maybe just family and friends?
I think that would be a great way to start. I wish I had included that in the article, because if you can't really see yourself putting together a caroling group this year, it's just a little bit too daunting. That would be a wonderful place to start. It would just be to invite some friends over and say, we're going to sit around the living room and we're going to sing. And you can plan ahead for that by either having some hymnals handy, or most of these Christmas carols are, they're old enough, they've been around a long enough time that they are public domain, so you can easily find them on the internet and print them off without any copyright issues. Make yourself a little carol book and sit around and sing together, and you will grow in friendship and in closeness with those people that you're sitting and singing with, and you will also be fed in your own faith during the Christmas season.
I think one of the things that's contributed to the fall off of the caroling and then the communal singing is that we've forgotten the songs. So give us some suggestions of Christmas carols that you think would be ideal for going out and doing that a cappella task of Christmas caroling.
Well, I know that there are my favorite Christmas carols, and probably some of my favorite Christmas carols would not necessarily be on the list that I would suggest for Christmas caroling, because I think if you're going to try to get together in a group of people and sing, and it's not something you're necessarily comfortable with, you want to choose the really familiar and well-known carols. So these would be the tried and true, the Silent Night, O Come All You Faithful, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Away in a Manger, Angels We Have Heard on High. These are the ones that I think even people that aren't going to church all year long, maybe they just go at Christmas time, but these are the ones that they will hear. These are the carols that stay with us from year to year because we've heard them so many times. And that's where I would start if you're wanting to get together to sing Christmas carols.
I noticed that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the other popular Christmas songs aren't on the list. Why is that?
Well, those are not Christmas carols, and they're also not Christmas hymns. And we talked at the beginning about the more historical definition of what a carol is. But if you're going to get together and sing songs about Christmas, then you want songs about Christmas. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, I don't mean to say that we shouldn't sing those during the holiday season. They're fun, and there's a place for them. But if you want to go Christmas caroling, whether in your group at home, sharing the message of Christmas with one another in a home setting, or if you want to go visiting and taking that message out into your community, you want that message to have the true Christmas message, which is the story of the incarnation of Christ. And so I would say the best place to look for Christmas carols is going to be the Christmas section of your hymnal.
Finally, I think it's not just the technology. People say, well, we don't carol anymore because, and I think you're right, we have handed over music to the professionals. We've made it a passive thing rather than an active thing. That is certainly true. But I think that our ancestors knew something we've forgotten about what it means just to gather together, especially as Christians, and to sing songs of the faith. What have we forgotten largely that our forebears understood?
I think that we have forgotten the power of music and the power of music to carry the word. Music is one of the best ways to impress upon our memories and our minds in a way that will stay with us the words that are important. And so this is why we set hymns to music, because it impresses them upon us for years and years and years. We can't forget them because we associate those words with the tunes. By continuing to nurture music within our culture and within our families, we're going to continue to nurture that ability to carry words through music. And that's something that in the church and in our lives as Christians, we can't ever emphasize too much.
Cheryl Magnus is managing editor of The Reporter Online for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and she's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why You Should Go Christmas Caroling This Year and How to Start. You can find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
On the other side of the break, we are going to be looking at the abortion numbers from 2015. That is the most recent year for which data is available, according to the Washington Post. Those numbers have hit an historic low. Dr. Michael New of the Charlotte Lozier Institute will be our guest.
Join Concordia University Chicago as they celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in joyous gospel and song. The annual service of lessons and carols takes place on December 1st and 2nd, featuring the university's internationally renowned music performance groups. Attend one of the three services in person or stream the video online December 2nd at cuchicago.edu/live.
The origin of confusion, I would say, it stretches way back to Genesis 3.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion.
Satan tried to inject falsehood into the true word that God had spoken. But in that little statement, did God actually say this? Suddenly we see this swirl of confusion coming into our world.
Learn more about Clearly Christian at issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran confessions. We celebrate the Divine Service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30 with Sunday School for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.